we differ. We differ in our talents. Some have 10. Some are not so sure they have 1. We differ in our fears. Some fearless souls that tread not only where angels don't fear to tread, but even the demons would hold back, but not they. Others, the shy, retiring, sensitive souls, we differ in our experiences. And here, even though we are supposedly, are there any twins in the audience? Even though we were, what I'm told genetically, are not really perfect twins, nevertheless, even there, those twins differ, because the moment we are conceived, and surely when we are born, we each have different experiences. If nothing else, twin A experiences B, and B experiences A, and those two are sure different. We differ in our bodies, in the health and strength and age and vigor. We differ in our souls in all the differences that God anticipated when He specially created and infused this soul for me, which is no one else's. We differ then in every possible way in which only persons can be persons. If all of this divides people, and it does, doesn't it? Take in bitter winter, as I discovered some of my fellow novices. For them, fresh air was cold air. I happen to be very sensitive to cold. Well, I learned to offer it up, as the novice master told me. In dealing with persons in their studies, and all hand-picked, and one of the qualities we look for is at least average and generally better than average intelligence, when in the same class in theology, the men who had been leading their classes, when they discover that there are 4 other valedictorians in the same class and 5 salutatorians, and the scholarship which they want to college, 10 others also won their scholarships, they find out that they're in competition, that they are no longer leading. The conflicts, all the things that are created by the differences we discover in dealing with people. What unites people? If our differences divide us, and they do, the only thing that unites us is something outside of ourselves, which we somehow share or have in common with other people who are otherwise so different from us. As St. Augustine puts it, no two things which are different can ever be joined together except by some one third thing which they share. And he was speaking in the metaphysical sense of unification. The only other possibility, which is an impossibility, would be to erase the differences. Correct? Since that is impossible, and God does not want us to cease to be ourselves, if we're going to be united with others, they remaining themselves, we ourselves, it can only be in virtue of something which we somehow share in common. This is the basis for, say, business corporations. There may be no particular affection lost among the members of the board, but they have one thing in common, that Procter Gamble make as good a soap and sell as many detergents as the American economy can take. They have a common goal, soap. Associations of all kinds, from the more elevated of Association for the Advancement of Science to associations, I'm sure you've heard of some exotic ones. There are associations, you know, of entomologists. You know who they are. Those who study insects. And not excluding associations of those who have the hobby of fishing for trout. I discovered there's an American Association of Trout Fishermen. We need to hear this. Don't you think so? So that we see that what unites people even naturally. And as often as we've read the words of our Savior, of the children of this world can be often much more shrewd in their generation than the children of light. Well, let's not leave that as a proverb. Let's do something about it. Let's get smart. And let's learn something from these children of this world and apply the principles sublimated by grace, that if we have differences, in fact, if we didn't, we wouldn't be human beings. But that the very differences that we have are meant by Christ to be the source of our unity, where here the unity is not only of some common enterprise that we have, like business or a hobby, but where we have in common not an object, but a person. Where what we share in common is our one love for the same Jesus Christ. And we know and hear the panorama of our faith opens up. This should be not a conference, but a graduate degree, 5 years, on the meaning of Christian charity. Because then, what we have in common is our one Savior, Jesus Christ. He makes sure that he not only symbolizes our unity by having us address ourselves to the same Lord, following the example of the same Jesus, invoke the same name, and do so whenever we can, together, to exemplify our unity in Him, that He has created the sacrament where we receive the One who unites us. And it is this receiving of the Savior that makes a community. Not only because of our free will decision to join together to form a community, which is true of all other societies. All societies, human societies, are joined together somehow by a common will. Here, on the common object, Jesus. But this Savior, to make sure that we are a unique community, enables us, and the Church bids us, receive Him who is our common center, in order that, by receiving Him daily, His body into our body, His will into our will, His mind into our minds, we might then grow in that oneness for which He prayed to His Heavenly Father, that they all may be one, even as Thou, Father, in me, and I in Thee. Let us ask our Divine Savior, not only at communion time, but between communions, I mean sacramental communions, to help us appreciate not only what we should, what graces we receive and therefore cooperate with them for ourselves as individuals. Lord knows we need them to meet our own problems, but to ask Him to enlighten us on how, in virtue of the graces we receive from communion, we may be more effective in living out what He is enlightening us through Holy Communion to do, in order to make community life more Christ-like. You may have noticed the stress I place on grace as light. Grace, of course, is both. It is both strength and illumination. But as I leave this very crucial subject, let me point out that this matter of profiting from our holy communions is not something which we simply talk about or hear about and then sort of expect that, well, since I've gone to communion, I've done my part, I've gone to communion, that Christ is somehow supposed to do the rest. That provided we see, and we can never see this too clearly, because this itself is a great grace to see it, that the fundamental grace, the primary grace, I'm speaking of actual graces, is in the mind, to enlighten the mind by illuminating the faith. Meaning that through our communions, we are enlightened. We get insights, we get ideas, illuminations that come from Christ, who is, as He tells us, the light of the world. And remember, on one dramatic occasion, He spoke to His disciples, talking to us. And you are the light of the world, remember? Both foci. That through communion, we obtain insights, ideas, ways, if you wish, to speak practically, in which we can put into practice this charity, so that we don't just conceive of practicing charity as avoiding, well, running into people, either physically or socially. But giving ourselves to others, giving of the self, so that between communions, to reflect daily on how, in the light that I have received through my last reception of Christ, who is the light of the world, what can I do better, more effectively, more generously, more expeditiously, or as I keep asking of the Lord, more universally, so that what I do, since the lifespan is so short, I might affect not one or 10 or 1,000. I pray to Christ to enlighten me how to affect millions. In order to give him not just glory, but the greatest possible glory that I can, ask our Savior then to make, and this will be what I would call spiritual communions between sacramental ones, when we reflect mentally on what I can do more generously and more effectively until the next communion, to put into practice the one virtue for which Christ mainly comes into my body and soul every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.